The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on another beautiful day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Sun is shining, not a cloud in the sky. A little bit windy, some would say chilly, but I say it's just about perfect here on the plains. And it is once again the On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. I told you yesterday that today was going to be a stacked show, and I mean it. It is busy from right now all the way through 4 o'clock. Coming up in hour number two, we'll have Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. He'll join us on the phone lines as he does every Thursday. Coming up at 2:30, we'll have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He'll join us. We'll talk about A-Day coming up on Saturday. We'll talk about Auburn baseball, some of the Auburn basketball news as well. And then I told you that we're bringing back an old friend, an old guest that hasn't been in here in a long time. He's been rejecting my phone calls and won't come back, but he finally did. We finally got him back in the studio. Lindsey Crosby joining us, our baseball guy. Now that it's baseball season, we're allowed to talk to you again, man. It's great to see you.
It is good to be back. Good to be here. Good to be back in this chair. It's been a minute.
Yeah. Well, tell everybody kind of what you're up to. You've had a lot of changes. You're up to a lot of great things, but all of your accolades and all of your titles have kind of moved around a little bit. So for the people that don't know, tell them what you've been up to.
So I am now almost exclusively writing about the game of baseball. So managing editor of BravesToday.com, writing for Sports Illustrated about the Atlanta Braves every day. Also writing about the Miami Marlins inside the Marlins.com. That's a newer development. And then obviously Auburn Baseball, AuburnDaily.com, senior baseball writer over there. And then up until this spring, I was the award-winning host of Locked On MLB Prospects. After two seasons of that, we've kind of sunsetted that finally. Had a great chance, won the award, made over 600 episodes.
That's awesome.
But we're focusing now on Major League Baseball and then college baseball, because Auburn baseball is always going to have my heart a little bit. My start in sports writing was Auburn baseball.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, look, you do a fantastic job, and we love having you on, and the fans love you too, because when it comes to baseball, nobody knows more than you do. And look, man, we were talking about this before we came on the air. We could go 2 hours today of baseball. We got you for 30 minutes and hoping to get you on a regular schedule again now that it's baseball season, and there's so much happening. I want to start on the professional side, then we'll move into the Auburn side. With the Braves, obviously season underway, Braves still pretty much doing their thing. I know they've had a couple of games get moved around due to weather, but that's just how it works in April, right? But we'll kind of walk us through what you're seeing so far early on from the Braves. I mean, they can hit, they can pitch, they can pretty much do whatever they want to, and that's how Atlanta rolls.
Yeah, when I was in Northport for spring training, they were very kind of upfront with, and by they I mean, like, you know, the players, the coaches we talk to, very upfront about our goal here is World Series. Like, we are making the World Series in 2024. And everybody came to spring training in, you hear the cliche a lot, best shape of their life. But
yeah,
literally day one, guys are throwing upper 90s and bullpens. Hitters are just hitting tanks and batting practice. Everybody is ready to go. And so far this year, there's been a little bit of a stumble. Max Fried had an abbreviated outing on Saturday against the Phillies, but for the most part, the pitchers have looked good. The offense has been remarkably good when you consider the fact that Ronald Acuña Jr. doesn't have a home run yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, we're five games in, you figured he would by now.
I mean, if you remember last year, he was a little bit slow to get going from a power perspective last year as well. But the offense has still been incredibly good. You've had surprising contributions that you weren't expecting. Orlando Arcia has four doubles and I believe leads the team in OPS, or is second in OPS behind Ozzie Albies.
There you go.
You've had some great contributions you weren't expecting. Marcell Ozuna leads the team in home runs when last year he was batting under 100 at the end of April.
And then turned it on somehow.
And then went nuclear and batted almost 300 from that point to the end of the year. Finished with 40 homers and 100 RBIs, right?
Ridiculous.
But these guys have just come into the year. Everybody did extra work in the offseason. And the biggest takeaways that I've had have been all of the good things from last year are back. The offense is not hitting the home runs yet because it's been cold, but they're back. The Spencer Strider is back. But then you've also, all of the pieces you've added have been doing really well. You look at Chris Sale, the starting pitcher they got from the Boston Red Sox, best health he's had since 2018, 2019. He looked really good. He told us he feels great. The movement on his pitches is back to what it was. Not Cy Young runner-up Chris Sale, right, but 2018-19 Boston Red Sox World Series champion Chris Sale.
When he's on, I mean, he's one of the most dominant pitchers the game has seen.
When you look at, when you set the caveat of the guy has to have a minimum of 1,000 innings pitched, but Chris Sale has the highest strikeouts per nine innings in baseball history.
Wow.
Right now. And he's back to that same form right now. Spencer Strider is the leader if you don't count number of innings in a career, but Chris Sale is the career leader in strikeouts per nine innings.
Sheesh.
And he looks like that. Jared Kelnick, a lot of people were freaking out when they got outfielder Jared Kelnick from the Seattle Mariners because he was streaky in Seattle, and then he struggled in spring. But it was the Kevin Seitzer special, right? The Braves hitting coach loves to have guys readjust their hands. They changed his approach. They lowered his hands a bit. He started taking off late in the year, or late in spring training, and then right now he's 6-for-11, doesn't have a home run yet. He's only struck out twice, leads the team in batting average. Again, small sample size, but
right,
something where all of the parts that they that were good last year are still good this year, and the newcomers are doing really well. And so they're all optimistic that this is the year they're going back to the World Series.
Wow. Well, I mean, I think that's what Braves fans are expecting, right? I mean, I think that's the standard that has been set in Atlanta, whereas we expect to make a run to the postseason and have that go through Atlanta and make it to the World Series. And I don't think that's a crazy thing for the Braves fans to want.
I mean, when you bring back 9/10 of a lineup last year that tied the single season home run record with 307, and for the record, they tied the 2019 Minnesota Twins, that was the juiced ball year. So in my mind, the Braves are the home run record holders, just like Hank Aaron is the home run record holder over Barry Bonds, because the other party got a juiced ball, or juice in general.
Yeah, juiced muscles.
Yeah, but like you have so much of this rotation, this lineup back. You have all these guys locked in long term, and you're not overly committed financially to any one player where you have quality depth all the way through. You see so many teams. I look at the Yankees. You're paying $30+ million to Aaron Judge. You look at the Padres and all of the huge contracts they've given out, and that means they have questionable depth at other places on the roster. The Braves are the deepest roster, position player-wise and pitcher-wise, in all of baseball, and it's because Alex Anthopoulos has done a good job of spreading the money around. Guys take less money to go in Atlanta because they're happy in the clubhouse, they're happy in the organization, and it's a recipe to be a contender every single year for a long time, and that's not something any other team can really say.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're looking for when you are when you're trying to build a championship, not just a championship team, Lindsay, but a championship organization. And that's really what Atlanta has been doing over the last however many years. And hey, phone lines are open if you want to call in and talk a little baseball with us. 334-321-1390. Lindsey Crosby with us for the first 30 minutes of today's show, talking a little Braves, a little professional. We'll get to Auburn baseball after our first break. But speaking of just Major League Baseball, storylines everywhere. I mean, you've got the A's that are now going to go to Sacramento for 2 years before going to Las Vegas. You have Shohei Ohtani, who is under investigation because somebody's gambling with his money, whether it was him or not. Well, that's under investigation. But just storylines all over the place, Lindsay.
The big one that we didn't even get to in that little group there, Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts, after a career of playing the outfield, is the starting shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And it's working?
It's working. That's the wildest thing to me. Now, it's important to remember, when he was drafted by Boston in 2011 at age 18.
Still hurts my
heart. He was an infielder, right? Like, he started his very first game he played for the Red Sox. He played one game his rookie year in rookie ball, like his draft year. He started at shortstop. Like, he was a shortstop. But they moved him to the outfield, I want to say, within two seasons. And he was in the outfield almost exclusively from that point on.
And was one of the best right fielders in the game.
Won a gold glove out there. And now is the starting shortstop. And it's working. He's had an amazing offensive year. I never really doubted that Mookie Betts could play shortstop. And he said that everybody doubted him. I'm like, nobody doubted you, Mookie Betts.
Has never been doubted in his life.
No. Like it's like, I doubt that Aaron Judge can keep hitting home runs. Like, nobody doubted you, Mookie Betts. But I think the question has been, moving to a more physically demanding position in his 30s. He did it. Aaron Judge is playing a lot of center field for the Yankees. Another position, physically demanding. Moving to a more physically demanding position is not something you usually see at this stage in a guy's career. So I think the question is, can Mookie still keep up this level of offense and defense in game 145, in game 160, in the postseason? And I think that's the only real question we have about this, other than, wow, he really is better than we thought he was going to be. Like, I thought he could do it. I didn't think he'd be this good, and also leading the league in home runs and OPS and batting average and everything. He's batting .485.
That's insane.
And it's only 9 games, I know, but he's batting .485. It's a little bit absurd.
Yeah, and you said it. I mean, how long can it keep up? Not hitting .485, because that's not going to survive. But, you know, not only with shortstop, not only the physical demand that it puts, but the mental demand. I mean, you have to be, nothing against outfielders, but you have to be much more alert playing shortstop than you do playing right field most of the time.
Yeah, and like, the thing people don't think about is infield to outfield. Like, yes, there's differences in the angle of the ball off the bat and things like that, and the types of plays you're making. But second base to shortstop, the other side of that, once you flip past the pitcher's mound and flip past second base, everything is different.
Right.
As far as the types of movements you have to make, the amount of arm strength you need. He had always been on the right side of the field until now. And that's not an easy transition to make. And it's amazing that he's done as well as he has. Again, the question is just, can he keep it up?
Is Shohei Ohtani going to stay in the league?
The Shohei Ohtani situation is really funny because I keep having to remind people of this. We don't really know a lot about Shohei Ohtani.
Because he doesn't tell anybody
anything. His teammates didn't know he was married until he announced he was married on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, he's a very, very private person.
Which is so hard to do nowadays.
It really, really is. And while something happened with his money making its way to a bookie, I am going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that he didn't do it, or that he wasn't betting on sports himself. But here's the thing. They came out in that statement that he gave and in what the lawyers have done. They were very explicit that not only did he have no idea what was going on, but that the money was stolen from him. And so the issue you have now is there's an investigation. The IRS will figure this out because they want their money from whoever is supposed to pay them.
They're going
to
get their money.
Like, Al Capone was taken down by the IRS. He's not taken down for, like, the crimes he committed. He was taken down for tax fraud.
Yeah.
And so by coming out so strongly that he didn't know what was going on and that stuff was stolen from him, this is all going to get figured out by the government. And so it kind of makes me believe that maybe he didn't know what was going on because he's in legal trouble if he tried to pin it on his interpreter and it wasn't that guy's fault. Like, if this is a cover for Shohei, and they will figure out what really happened, and he's going to be in legal trouble if he tried to pin it on his interpreter wrongly. And so, like, that's why I'm like, maybe he really didn't know. And I could see the whole scenario and the whole dynamic of being in a new country, not speaking the language. MLB interpreters end up really doing a lot of things outside of baseball, and all the reports we have are that these guys were inseparable, and Ipe did everything for him. Ordered food, got his laundry done, everything. So I can see it. We just have to find out what happens with the investigations.
Well, somebody dropped maybe the funniest joke that I've ever heard around this entire situation, and they said all Pete Rose needed was a translator, and he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Pete Rose made that joke. Pete Rose himself made that joke.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. Rose himself made that joke. And I'm like, well, I mean, that's still different because you bet on your own team. I think he bet on his own team to win. I don't think he ever bet on his team to lose, but still, it's like, come on, man.
I mean, it's a wild thing. And the thing with the Shohei thing is the amount of money that it was involved. I mean, this was millions, right? Millions of dollars.
$4.5 million ultimately is how much was moved from Shohei's accounts to the illegal bookie.
That just shows you how much he's making and the fact that it took him this, or took somebody this long to realize, hey, I'm missing $4.5 million.
When you break down like the ratio of how much he made to this, it's the equivalent of somebody who makes $90,000 a year missing $50. So like when you think of it that way, how much money he's making versus how much this was, I mean,
oh, that hurts. That hurts my soul.
There's been time like I've had charges come through and I'm like, I don't remember that. I don't remember spending that money. Like,
yeah.
I could see if you're looking at million, like he's at a point where money does not matter to Shohei anymore.
He can't spend it all.
Like literally athletes at that stage don't think about money from a day-to-day basis like we do, right? Like they just don't think about it.
Like the average man.
Like the average person does. Yeah, they just don't think about it. They've moved past a point where they have to worry about money on the daily. And so
that's wild,
I can see this happening.
Yeah. 334-321-1390. Lindsey Crosby with us for another segment. When we come back, we'd love to hear from you talking Auburn baseball and how in the world they're going to turn this thing around in the middle of SEC play. That's coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, it's the Thursday edition of On the Line, joined by Lindsey Crosby in the studio. It's great to have him along. We were talking Braves, we were talking a little bit of Major League Baseball storylines, but let's flip over to Auburn baseball. Got a few minutes here in this segment, and I know it seems to be a sore subject because of how SEC play has started for Auburn baseball, which, if you haven't been keeping up, it has not been good, but the schedule's been brutal. It's been terrible, and we've all said it a million times. It's been the hardest schedule in college baseball, but at what point, Lindsey, do you just have to overcome it and start winning some games? What have you seen so far from this Auburn team and their very, very slow start in SEC play?
So a note on the schedule real quick I want to kind of point out is I was talking to some folks just over the weekend, and the two trends that you've seen in SEC play have been pitchers, like having a stud pitcher legitimately matters. Having an amazing pitcher matters. And it is very, very hard to win in this conference on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the very beginning of the conference schedule at top 10 Vanderbilt, you come home, but you have number one Arkansas, and you win one of three, but you are incredibly close, one-run games in the other two games. You go to number four Texas A&M, and then this week, number four Tennessee at home because the rankings change week to week. A lot of things conspiring against you. Incredibly tough schedule. It gets a little bit easier after this. You have Kentucky. Bad news there. Like it's at home, but the bad news is one of the only exceptions to the SEC teams can't win on the road rule has been Kentucky this year.
They've been playing phenomenal.
They've been playing great on the road, too, which is tough.
Yeah.
But then like after that, you go to State, you go to LSU, and then you're home for Ole Miss, at Missouri, home for Alabama. This reminds me of 2019. 2019, Auburn ends up like slow start in conference play. They end up 14-16 in conference play.
Mm-hmm.
So they go on the road for the regionals and everything, but they make it to Omaha, right? The question here, everybody, like I talked to two or three different folks from D1Baseball.com over the weekend, Mark Etheridge, Teddy K, like a couple guys, and Joe Healy, there you go. And the consensus that everybody had was this Auburn baseball team is going to make a run in the back half of the conference schedule. They always do.
They always do.
And it's something where when you figure out the roles, the right roles, who's supposed to play on what days, who pitches in what spots, figuring out the roles is what enables Auburn to make a run. The questions you have here are, one, how deep is that hole before you start the run? And when do you start it, right? Because, again, Tennessee, this is a tough schedule, like tough matchup coming up against Tennessee. But in 2019, your run in 2019 started off with a home sweep of Tennessee.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, nothing is a must win. No single game is a must win. But I think this home series this weekend is as close to a must win series as you can get when you're just short of the halfway program of SEC play.
Is it safe to say that at 1-8 so far in conference play, that run, almost like you're saying with this series against Tennessee, does it have to start this weekend? I mean, is this where, I mean, that's kind of where the winning a series, the run would begin if you do that. So it's basically, is it now or never for Auburn?
If Auburn doesn't win the series this weekend, you have to win every other series the rest of the year.
Gosh.
And the hard part there is you go to State, you go to LSU. So I don't think you're going to sweep this weekend series. I obviously would love if you did. I don't think you're going to do that. But you have to win this series to give yourself the breathing room down the stretch to drop a game or two here or there.
Yeah.
And the tough thing is, You still don't know what you have in Joseph Gonzalez.
That's been, I mean, explain that. I don't think anybody can, but yeah. Do your best job to do it.
Like, obviously, you missed him last year with the shoulder issue that they just could not catch up to, and they finally had him have surgery. In, like, winter and spring, there was a lot of conversation about he was throwing harder because he was fully healthy. He was throwing harder than he had in a while.
Right.
And because of that, the sinker wasn't quite sinking like it usually does. The slider wasn't sliding quite like it usually does. And they were trying to figure out how to get him right. Not going to say get him right, but get him ready for the start of the season. And I don't necessarily, I'm not privy to exactly what they did, but when you watched him, it looked like he was trying to do some things a little bit different to make sure the pitches were there. And I think that's what led to that week two blow up. They pulled him out of the rotation for a week to have him fix it, get back to his original mechanics, and he just hasn't been as consistent as you would expect. I think some of that's rust. I think some of that's some lingering mechanical stuff. I haven't been told or heard that he's hurt in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just the guy missed a year of baseball, and shoulder injuries are really tricky because there's so much that we just don't know about how to rehab a shoulder injury, how to fix a shoulder injury, or what it's gonna do to a guy as he's trying to come back from a shoulder injury.
Well, so many things go into it. I mean, it's not just the baseball side of your shoulder, but just your everyday movement of your shoulder, right? I mean, just all the things you do if you're trying to pick something up or open a door. I mean, anything, beat yourself out of bed. Like, it's all those things that you have to deal with. And so, as we're kind of winding down in this segment, Auburn with Tennessee this weekend, Kentucky next weekend. So you do have back-to-back series at home. I think it's a big opportunity for Auburn fans to show up because they've been doing that. They broke the attendance record against Arkansas, right? I mean, they have a chance to do that over the next 2 weeks.
And both the coaching staff and the players have talked about how much it means to have those fans behind them in Plainsman Park. So it's a great time to have this home series on a day weekend. Go out there, go to all three games if you can, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday at 6, Saturday at 3:30, Sunday at 1. But we need some good performances from these guys this weekend.
What did you think about the game last night against UAB? A little scary there down the stretch until Auburn blew it open.
It feels like that's kind of been a microcosm of this season, right? You kind of, you know, some early runs, and then Auburn's arms sometimes can step up and shut them down. Sometimes they can't. The offense can go crazy in an inning all of a sudden, throw up a bunch of runs.
Yeah.
Kind of been a microcosm of the whole season there. You know, some early scares, big scoring. But you've got to figure out which of those guys can move to the weekend and can give you that same kind of contribution and relief on the weekend. Because you've had some questions about effectiveness from some of these guys. And part of this is a new pitching coach, right? They're not calling pitches from the catcher anymore. It's all from the dugout, from the pitching coach. There's some adjustment here as he learns what guys are comfortable with, as they learn how much they can push back and say, no, I don't want to do that. So, again, all the pieces are here for a run. It's just a question of when do you start it? Hopefully it's this weekend against Tennessee.
Yeah, hopefully it is. And I think it has to be. I think you got to start this weekend. Auburn baseball 1-8 in SEC play. They've got Tennessee at home this weekend. Lindsey, plug it all one more time quickly before we get out of here for the first 30 minutes of the show. Plug everything you got.
I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. It's the hub for everything. If you're looking for Auburn baseball, auburndaily.com. If you're looking for Major League Baseball, a lot of that is bravestoday.com, as well as a little bit on InsideTheMarlins.com.
Awesome, man. Hey, great to have you back in here. Great to see you. We'll make this a more consistent thing throughout the rest of baseball season. 30 minutes in to hour number one, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goins with you on the Auburn Opelika sports leader, ESPN 106.7. We appreciate Lindsey Crosby joining us in the studio for the first 30 minutes talking all things baseball. That was a lot of fun. And as I said, we're going to get him in here hopefully once a week for an hour each week. And that's what we've done in the past. And it's always a lot of fun. And I know a lot of you enjoy that talk. But as we're joined every Thursday at 2:30, let's get to the phone lines because Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network is with us, and we'll be talking some Auburn baseball and other things here as well. Brad, great to hear from you, man. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Jacob. War Eagle to you. Beautiful, beautiful day on the plane.
Yes, we've had a lot of beautiful weather coming through, and I haven't checked the weather for this week, and I think it's supposed to be nice in Auburn for some baseball at Plainsman Park, right?
Yeah, for baseball, for A-Day, it's going to be a little chilly, you know, when the sun goes down, but and that A-Day forecast is going to be one of the best that we've had around here in a long time. Highs are going to be like around 70 to 75 throughout the weekend. It's going to be gorgeous. And that be for those who tried to go to A-Day last year, I mean, it's 100 times better than what the weather was last year.
It's pretty much the exact opposite of what A-Day was last year. I mean, it was a monsoon. It was gross last year for A-Day. And that's what I want to begin talking to you about today, because it's been a big conversation around this week with the spring game, a lot of spring games coming up in the next, you know, this week and next week, right around college football. And there's always the conversation of, okay, what is the spring game? What do you look for in the spring game? What do you take away from A-Day, right? So where do you kind of stand on all that, Brad, when it comes to A-Day in particular for Auburn and then spring games in general?
I think that's a good question. I think you have to, as a fan, understand that your expectation for the game has to align with the head coach's, or else you're going to be disappointed. So, like, it doesn't matter if I want it to be 90 minutes of ones versus ones. It doesn't matter if I want Cam Coleman to get 15 targets against three different waves of defensive backs. That doesn't matter if it's not what the head coach wants. And I think that Hugh Freeze has said this week, he's made no bones about it, just as is his way. His way is transparency. That, you know, they're going to hold some guys out that they know what they can do. The fans are going to have a good time being in Auburn. That's what he said first. You're going to be in the stadium. Focus on that. Focus on the fact that you know, you get to go inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, and there's something special about that. And I think when it comes to the game itself, if you're hoping to form your opinion of what the full picture of the 2024 Auburn Tigers is going to look like on what you see in the A-Day game, I don't think you can do that. They're hoping for good competition from younger players, and they're hoping for a healthy day. And I think that's where the fan expectation ought to be as well. Be excited to see the younger players. Be excited to see the guys on the secondary, for sure, in the secondary. But I don't think you're going to be, you know, checking out too many top-level secrets or anything like that during the game.
Well, that's one of the things that Hugh Freeze mentioned on Tuesday when he met with the media, was getting through it healthy. And I think he was stressed and worried about it, and rightfully so. I mean, it's a higher level practice, but it's not quite to a game, but and injuries can happen at any time. You just want to get through that last day of spring without any major injuries. And something he's already talked about is the receiver room having some banged up guys in it. And you don't want to add on to that, right? You don't want to make that any worse. And so, yeah, I think that's what fans are excited about. And, of course, watching Cam Coleman, you mentioned him as well, watching him do his thing and see if he can get a couple flashy catches on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those, the young guys at the wide receiver spot. He and Bryce Kane and Robert Lewis, if he's healthy to go. But you know, he's a guy that has been talked about is dealing with some injuries in the spring. I you know, that's one of the two positions I'm most interested in seeing for the 2024 team is the wide receiver spot and the secondary. Secondary should have guys healthy and ready to go, but how much can you gauge if you're facing – you know, half of the receiver core that you're going to see
right
in the fall.
Right.
So, and I kind of think that's where we are. I think that some guys will be held out from the receiver position. I don't think Cam's going to get 10 targets during the game. I think you'll see enough of him to get excited, and hopefully you see something from other receivers that will get you excited as well. And just appreciate it is a practice, it is a scrimmage, it is an opportunity to be in the stadium, and beyond that, not a whole lot else.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on ESPN 106.7. Something that you are always a big supporter of and something that you always like to highlight on these types of situations, Brad, is the fan experience and the fan opportunities around the A-Day spring game where so many people get to come down. A lot of people that don't get to come during the season because of ticket prices or whatever the case may be. And, you know, you get to come down and have the stadium experience with the baseball game going on next door. I mean, that's something that you always talk a lot about.
Yeah. And again, from that point, I think it's terrific. Do I wish that tickets were $5 or free? Yeah, I do. But that's, I don't make those decisions. And, you know, people who, it's their job to delve into that all the time. They do make those decisions, so they're more qualified than I am. I do think you can choose to focus on the negative of any situation, or you can choose to focus on the positive of any situation. And I guarantee you, there will be an everyday family of four that go to the A-Day game that maybe can't afford to come in the fall. Maybe it's their first time coming to a game. Maybe they're going to come to games in the fall, but they're new to the area and they've never been to Auburn before. Saturday will be somebody's first experience at Jordan-Hare Stadium. And I know that the people who deal in fan experience are aware of that. They're thinking in that way. And they will put on a first-class event. I know the pop-up shop is back over at baseball, and people love that to get some nostalgic some prints, some clothing that you can't always get everywhere any time of the year. So that'll be at the baseball game. People who've never been to a baseball game, tickets are tougher to get now than they have been in the past. But you may have somebody going to that for the first time ever because it happens to be on A-Day weekend. I do. I get romantic about stuff like that because I think that's what college sports should be about, except for the people whose livelihood it is. It's not life or death. It's not, and even then, it's not life or death. It's a job. It's a passion. It's an escape. It's enjoyment. It's entertainment. And there will be people who are entertained at Jordan-Hare Stadium for the first time ever Saturday.
Well, you always have such a unique way of saying it and putting it into words, so I appreciate you doing that. Along with A-Day on Saturday, you do have Auburn baseball at home, finally back home this weekend. The schedule doesn't get any easier. They're up against the number 4 team in the country for the second straight weekend. They were on the road and got swept by Texas A&M, who was the number 4 team, and with the changing of rankings, it's now number 4 Tennessee, who's coming to Plainsman Park this weekend for Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, good. I was talking to Butch Thompson before one of the games, I don't know, within the last 2 weeks. They all run together this time of year. And he had just listened to a devotional or a motivational speak or something from an old armed forces member who, you know, their mantra in battle is no matter what the obstacle is, your response to it is good. You know, you had a flat tire. Good. Enemies got, you know, they're set up. Good. Let's go. Let's bring it on. Go face the thing with your nose first and run right into it. And, man, this is the SEC, and we've talked about this is the level at which you want to play. It's a level of competition you want to be at, but you can't get to this level of competition. Like, you can't get to be number four in the country unless you're facing and beating teams that are this highly ranked. So, you know, right now Auburn's looking for a series win. Right now they're looking for a solid Friday night start. You know, they're hoping to build on some of the momentum from the win over UAB last night, from how tough they have played several games in this stretch of losses in the SEC. And that's, you know, one game at a time, one foot, one step, one inch, one game, one pitch at a time. And they'll look to do that this weekend against Tennessee.
Auburn baseball in Tennessee, Friday night, that's tomorrow at 6, Saturday at 3:30. Right there as A-Day is ending, baseball will be getting underway. And then on Sunday at 1 o'clock, Brad, is there anything, or maybe many things, that you've seen from this Auburn baseball team, whether it be the approach at the plate or whether it just be their mentality, kind of their mindset like you were just talking about, things that give you confidence that they can turn it around and ultimately go on that run that they usually do?
Yeah, I think the way that you just said that is this team, Auburn of late, has been a better second-half conference team than they have been a first half. Now, you need some wins these next two weekends at home because trends are one thing. Math is a whole other thing, and your math gets really difficult if you can't win a couple of games these next two weekends. Auburn was 5-10 in the league when they did sort of figure it out and turn it around. And it started on a weekend in Tuscaloosa where they lost two of the three games, but they got an excellent start from Tommy Vail in a Friday night win a season ago. They're, you know, a Friday night start would go a long way for this Auburn team. I've seen them not back down regardless of the look of a game. I saw them go into the ninth inning against Texas A&M last Friday, trailing 12-4. They hit a grand slam, and they had two runners on, which means the tying run was on deck when that game ended. And a bunch of those hits were pinch hits in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. I saw them take Texas A&M to the 12th inning in the game Saturday, late night, multiple chances to fold, and they didn't do it. I saw them play a game last night that wasn't supposed to be last night. It was supposed to be Tuesday, and they're trailing going into the, going into the eighth inning. And after going down 1-2-3 in the seventh and looking lifeless in the seventh inning, with the heart of the order,
he's
completely turning around. It started with a pinch hit double. I see guys who fight for at bats. I see a lot offensively to like. I still think there's potential out of the bullpen if they can get some. You know, if they could get consistent 4-5 inning starting pitching efforts. If you could get to the fourth and fifth innings of games without having given up two or three runs, then I think the team becomes strong at that point. They're just putting themselves in holes too early in games.
Well, they fought last night, and it was coming down to the last couple of innings and the last handful of at-bats before Auburn was able to break it open in a game that got moved from Tuesday to Wednesday due to the weather moving around the state and, of course, through Birmingham. But Auburn wins last night 10-4, and they've got Tennessee, the number four team in the country, then Kentucky, who is playing some of their best baseball, and then, you know, just an easy road trip to Mississippi State. That's all you got coming up in the next few weeks.
Yeah, Mississippi State team that's better of late. They're on the verge of 20 wins. They're 4-5 in the league. Kentucky is the team that has been good on the road. They're 8-1 in road games.
That's insane.
And it just, you know, in a year where it's more difficult than ever to win on the road, Kentucky has been that team. So, yeah, you get 4th-ranked Tennessee, then you get 8-1 Kentucky or whatever they'll be when they come here. And then State, which is 4-5, and they've shown more improvement than what they've been the last couple of years since winning the championship. So, but again, you cannot, and you're not doing this. The temptation is to look at the schedule and go, man, that's really tough. I don't know how we're going to do it. Well, you're starting from behind if you have that mentality. I guarantee the coaches and the players don't have that mentality. The coaches and players look at the schedule and go, man, that's a tough schedule. It's the toughest schedule in the country. Okay, let's go get it. Good. Good. Because how are you going to be at your best if you don't compete against the best? How are you going to know that you've maximized your potential? And maybe Auburn's maximum potential is, you know, to be a 7-game under .500 team in the SEC. But you don't know that. I don't think it is. but you won't know that unless you've played the very best that require you to maximize your potential. And so that's the exciting part of this schedule to me.
Is there a brick wall that I can run through somewhere? Do they bring Brad Law into the dugout before they run out on the field in the clubhouse? I mean, get me fired up on a Thursday, Brad. I'm telling you what.
And listen, I've tried, Jacob, to make excuses, and the coaches won't allow it. I mean, that's just the way the team is.
Yep.
So that's not me. That's a reflection of being around the team. That's how I know that's how the players and coaches look at it. I mean, I tried to, in a post-game interview with Coach Thompson after game one, Vanderbilt, I tried to make the excuse about the artificial turf and playing on that for the first time. And he very quickly was like, no, these guys, they're the best players in the, you know, they're among the best in the country. They played on artificial turf. They play in tournaments. They play in, you know, the leagues that are all artificial turf. This is not their first time playing on turf. That would be an excuse. And I love it. I love the approach. I wish I would apply it more to my own life. I wish everybody would apply it more to their own life, that, you know, your challenges are out there so that you know that you've maximized your potential, because that's the only way you're going to find out.
Yeah, well, that's what's made Butch Thompson so good and so successful his entire time at Auburn. And the Tigers have Tennessee Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 6 o'clock Friday, 3:30 Saturday, 1 p.m. Sunday. Of course, for all of you here locally in Auburn Opelika, you can catch the radio broadcast with the Auburn Sports Network on Wings 94.3. Also on Wings, you can find it tonight, the final Tiger Talk. Brad, tell people who's going to be on.
We have a big show. We are going to talk to Butch Thompson. We're going to talk to Chris Stanfield as well. So we'll talk some baseball for about a half hour. And then we'll have head football coach Hugh Freeze with us at Baumhauer's as well. And really want to encourage you. It's our last show until August. If you don't have dinner plans yet, then I'll just urge you, come join us at Baumhauer's tonight. I hope you have to wait a little bit for a seat. I hope it's jam-packed. I'm asking for a loud, rowdy, raucous, fired up, energetic crowd from start to finish, and really kind of send us into the off season in terms of Tiger Talk anyway, into the 8A weekend, into the home baseball weekend, and into the off season as far as Tiger Talk is concerned, in a big way.
Yep, that'll be tonight. Yep. Out at Baumhauer's, or if you can't make it out for whatever reason, you can find that on Wings 94.3. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, he's with me every Thursday. We appreciate you, man, and your time. You guys are doing such a wonderful job. Plug it all. Tell people where they can find all the information that they need.
Just go AU Sports Network on X, on Instagram. Make sure you download the Auburn Game Day app. War Eagle Plus, our in-the-booth broadcasts are there too, but you know, we're on the radio. We know that that's our first love. And so, you know, make sure Wings 94.3 is one of your presets so that you can catch the Tigers in action all the time.
That's right. Brad, we appreciate it, man. Have a great show tonight for Tiger Talk. And you and Andy have a great call this weekend for Auburn baseball.
Thanks, Jacob. Appreciate it. War Eagle.
That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Him and Andy will be kind of running all over the place with Tiger Talk, A-Day, baseball. I mean, they're going to be doing it all this weekend with the Auburn Sports Network, and they do a wonderful job. We appreciate him joining us on the phone lines. He's with me every Thursday at 2:30. We'll take our final break, come back, wrap up hour number one. We got some breaking news in college basketball we need to talk about. We'll get into hour number two, and no better guy to talk about this piece of news than Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. He'll be with us coming up in the later part of the show as well. 334-321-1390. Back in a moment. We'll wrap up hour number one.
You are on the line on ESPN 1067. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrap it up. Hour number one flown by. Oh, my goodness. It has gone crazy with Lindsey Crosby, who was here for the first 30 minutes. Also, Brad Law just got off the phone with him. It's been a lot of fun so far, and hope you have enjoyed it. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. If you call in now, we'll probably get you to start the second hour. We'll have 30 minutes for you to call in, be a part of the show, and then Chris Gordy will be with us in hour number two. Breaking news that came out earlier today. We expected this to happen, and it's not official, like according to the university and the coach, but of all the reporters, it's official. It hasn't been finalized yet, right, Alan? I don't think it has. Okay. I don't think it has. But according to pretty much any report that you find, Eric Musselman and USC are joining together. They are coming together, and Eric Musselman interviewed and is expected to be hired. Oh, okay. So he told Arkansas that he's leaving. All right, well, that's pretty much confirmed then by Eric Musselman that he is not going to be the head coach at Arkansas anymore, that he's going to be out at USC. And look, this is wild news to me. When this came out the other day and we talked about it, I told you. I said, you don't have a job at Arkansas and then interview at USC if you don't plan on leaving, if you don't plan on taking that job. And I think a lot of people were kind of in that same boat of there's no possible way that you were just going to lightly walk out to California and just check it out and just see what they're going to offer, see what's going on in Southern California, and then come back to Fayetteville, Arkansas. No way. We knew it. As soon as the reports came out that he was interviewing at Southern Cal, he was a goner. Now Arkansas's got to figure out their next head coach, and there's a big name floating around that I think they're expecting to go after. We'll talk about that coming up in hour number two. Your reaction to Eric Musselman no longer being in the SEC. Some Auburn fans, you may be happy about it. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway in hour number two. If you missed anything from hour number one, it was a great, great hour, man. We had Lindsey Crosby back in the studio. Yes, the Lindsey Crosby, our baseball guy, was joining us in the studio for the first 30 minutes. We talked the Braves a little bit. We talked Major League Baseball news and updates. Shohei Ohtani. Yes, we did talk about that. And we also talked Auburn baseball with the Tigers hosting the Vols of Tennessee coming up this weekend at Plainsman Park. So, had him in hour number one, and we also had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who joins us every Thursday at 2:30. We talked A-Day, we talked Auburn baseball, we also talked a little Tiger talk that's coming up tonight on Wings 94.3. So, that was all back in the first hour. If you missed any of that, you can go and listen to the podcast today at ESPNAU.com. Coming up here in hour number two, we'll have Chris Gordy coming up of Locked On SEC. He'll join us at 3:30, so coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll talk all the latest SEC news, start talking spring practices, spring games, baseball, and pretty much the biggest news of the day, Eric Musselman, no longer at Arkansas. They didn't fire him. He left. He took a different job. He's going to USC, University of Southern California. Yes, he will be the head coach of the Trojans coming up next season. Isn't that wild to you? It's wild to me. And I don't know, last week, this was not something I thought was going to happen. Especially when Arkansas basketball put out the cringiest video of all time with Musselman at the head of a bus saying, "Hold on. Oh, you're still here? What?" Yeah, really weird, really cringy. If you haven't seen it, don't worry. Everybody is digging it back up on social media. But he is now going to be the head coach at USC and no longer in the SEC. I'm curious on how you feel about this. 334-321-1390, that's the number to get you through to me. I don't know. I think there's a lot of things here. I think he got fed up with Arkansas fans. I really do. I think he got tired of being in Fayetteville because after one down year, they turned on him immediately. And I mean immediately. There were Arkansas fans calling for his job after this one bet. And it was not a good year, right? It was not good. Especially with all the talent and all the history, everything they've done so far, right? This was not a good year for them. But to call for the guy and his job after one season, that's insane. That's absurd. And he's obviously good. He's done it at Arkansas. And now he's going to do it at USC. And he's going to be a great coach out there. He's a Western part of the country guy. Like, that's just kind of where he lives anyway. So I think he's going to do a really good job out there. Now, USC, gosh, they're so behind. But guess what? So was Arkansas. Arkansas was behind when he got there. And look what he did. He took them to Sweet 16s, Elite 8s. Had them flirting with the Final Four. You're telling me he can't do that in Southern California with the NIL money they have, with the basketball talent that's out there? Yeah, that's a fantastic hire for USC. And it's a great spot for Eric Musselman. And it gets you out of the SEC, which I'm not saying he's running from the competition, but he's no longer coaching in one of the better conferences in college basketball. He's going to be in the Big Ten, which, eh. I mean, from top to bottom, the Big Ten is not all that great. The top is really good. They've got a team represented in the Final Four this Saturday in Purdue. But the middle to bottom of the Big Ten, it's bad. Like, it sucks. And so he could have a chance to be really good at USC in the Big Ten. But then the question becomes, right? And look, again, I haven't seen a whole lot on social media yet today. This news just dropped about an hour or so ago when it comes to Eric Musselman being basically confirmed that he's going to be the USC coach. But are Auburn fans excited about it? I mean, are you happy to see the guy gone? He's beaten Auburn quite a few times, and in the Auburn-Arkansas basketball rivalry has become something pretty serious. I mean, it's become legit. And Auburn owned him this year, sure, but Arkansas's gotten Auburn a few times. And I think Auburn fans and Arkansas fans look forward to when those two teams meet up on the basketball court. We've had the conversations before about how I think Arkansas people are more obsessed with Auburn in terms of football because most Auburn fans don't really care about Arkansas in football, but basketball is a different story. And so what is that going to look like now? Who knows? That's the next big question. Who does Arkansas hire now? Well, I think there's two big names that Arkansas could go after and probably will go after. And the first one is Chris Beard at Ole Miss, a guy that has been successful everywhere he's been, a guy that got another chance after everything he went through in the SEC now at Ole Miss. They were on the verge of making the NCAA tournament with not a whole lot of talent. But somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure he has not signed that extension that they offered him. And I don't know how long he plans on being at Ole Miss, being in Oxford. And something that gets brought up time and time again, are there limitations on what Ole Miss can do in terms of basketball? And how committed are the folks in Oxford to be good on the hardwood, be good in baseball, which they are and have been and have won World Series, right? But it seems like they care more about baseball, and ultimately they care about football. So how good do they really want to be in basketball? I don't know. I thought they were serious when they hired Chris Beard. I think that was a phenomenal hire for them. But you know where it's a better spot for basketball right now? Arkansas, Fayetteville. Because it's been built. Musselman built it. Yes, they've had good teams and programs in the past, I know. But you get what I'm saying here. Musselman brought Arkansas back and made them legit again. You can't tell me that Chris Beard couldn't continue that if he went to Fayetteville. And he very well could do that in Oxford. Many people didn't believe it could be done in Fayetteville. But you see what I'm saying here? Like, that would be a home run hire for Arkansas. You lose one guy that's really, really good, and you bring in another guy that's really, really good. And I think Arkansas could pay him more. I think Arkansas is going to put more money into him. They're putting more money into their programs, into their facilities, into NIL in terms of basketball. And I just think that's a better spot for him to be, is at Arkansas than at Ole Miss. He may not see that, but just in terms of the job for Chris Beard, yeah, I think that's a great spot. So that's a name that continues to pop up. Another name that people have been throwing around when it comes to who's going to replace Eric Musselman at Arkansas is another name that's very well known in college basketball and very well known in the SEC. How about Will Wade? How about Will Wade? Could he be the next head coach at Arkansas? He could be. Very well could be. Maybe not this year. Could be next year. Could be this year. And he's done nothing but win. Now, I know he broke some rules, and he paid the price, but now he's back. And he just had McNeese a 30-win season. Now, they didn't do anything in the tournament, but they got a 30-win season. And you can't tell me that he wouldn't be good at Arkansas. He was good at LSU. He was good at LSU. A program, again, that was not doing anything in SEC college basketball. And then all of a sudden, they started getting some really good players, and they started winning some really big games. Now again, there were some back-end reasons they were getting good players, but at the end of the day, he's still a really good coach. And I think Arkansas would be lucky to have him. Arkansas would be lucky to have either one of those guys. Will Wade or Chris Beard, are you joking? Those are two of the best coaches in the game. And now Arkansas could go after those guys or a ton of other ones. Other names I don't really know. I know a lot of them. I just don't know which ones would be legit. I don't know. Those are the two that have been pretty popular so far in terms of who Arkansas could go after. And so I ask you, the Auburn fan, what do you want? What would you like to see in terms of Arkansas being an opponent of Auburn? Arkansas being a recruiting opponent of Auburn? I don't think we want to see Chris Beard go over there. I don't think we want to see Will Wade go over there, because those are two great coaches that are going to make Arkansas even better than what they are right now. And it really is wild that Musk didn't stick around after he said he was staying. And I think that's on Arkansas, and I think that's on their fans, too. I really do. Not today, but tomorrow, we're going to have a good buddy of mine from ESPN Arkansas, Ty Richardson. He'll join us tomorrow in the show to talk about all of this. Wasn't able to join us today, but he'll be on with us tomorrow. Curious on what he has to say when it comes to this entire news story and this big, big breaking news of Eric Musselman leaving Arkansas and going out to USC. Unbelievable, man. It really is. In terms of other news around college basketball, particularly Auburn, we talked yesterday about Trey Donaldson entering the transfer portal. And, you know, that hurts, man. I hate to see that. I really, really do hate to see it. And I think most fans did. I don't know any fan that was wishing Trey Donaldson were to leave Auburn. I have not talked to a single fan that thought that way. And if you do, give me a call. Let's talk about it. But I think most people liked him, really enjoyed watching him play, felt like he was he's an easy guy to root for. That's what he was. He was an easy guy to root for. And he was one of those guys that made Auburn better. Auburn was a better basketball team because of Trey Donaldson. Could you say that about KD Johnson this past year? No, I don't think you could. I don't think you could say that. So we hate to see KD go because he's been here for a while, but it was time. It was time for KD Johnson to move on. Trey Donaldson, on the other hand, you're going to miss him because I think he was going to have a big role on this team. It may have been a familiar, similar role to what it was this year, but it's still a significant role, still a big role. But I just don't think that's what he wanted. I don't think he wanted to do that anymore. I think he wanted to move on and go be the guy somewhere as a junior in college basketball. And you know what? He deserves that right. He deserves that right. And I think there's a couple of things that feed into that. I think the fact that there's no news on Aiden Holloway yet, I think that's telling, because I was being told there was a chance that could happen, that Aiden could leave. And you know what? He still could. He very well could. But I think the fact that he's still here is telling on why Trey Donaldson's gone. And I also think because of the activity that we're seeing Auburn do in the transfer portal right now, I think that's a big part of it too. And the main guy is J.P. Pegues, the Furman transfer who was on a visit at Auburn this week. He was here. And his numbers at Furman are unbelievable. His numbers as a junior, 18 points a game, 4 rebounds per game, and 5 assists, as he was an All-Southern Conference first-team player. And a lot of people bring up the question, okay, he's been there for 3 or 4 years. Why has he always been at Furman? Why has nobody else picked him up yet? Why has nobody else recruited him? Why has nobody else tried to go after him? Is he even that good? Have you watched him play? He's extremely good. He's very good. A lot of people talk about the buzzer beater that he had over Virginia in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago. Yeah, that's a great shot. That's probably the thing that people remember him most by. But you bring in a guy like this because he was not highly recruited out of high school. He was not playing well out of high school. And all he has done is gotten better at a school like Furman. And now he's looking to take that next jump. It worked with Denver Jones. Denver Jones was this exact type of player. He was an 18 points per game scorer at his previous school. And then Auburn brought him in, and all he did was get better. And I think he's going to continue to do that next season as Auburn's starting shooting guard. So you look at J.P. Pegues and you're saying, okay, we've got a guy that can drop 18, 20 points a night, and we're going to try to put him in the system and make him even better. He's 6'1", 185 pounds. He can shoot. He can get to the rim. He can create his own shot. He can do it all. He can do it all. And he really is a true guard that can do all of those things and facilitate. 18 points and 5 assists? Yeah. That's an extra 10 points that he's just dishing out in assists. So he's responsible, in my opinion, for almost 30 points a game at the point guard spot? When's the last time Auburn had that? Was it this year? Was it last year? It was Wendell sometimes. You're talking back to Javon McCormick and Jared Harper, where you had a point guard that could do that. And I'm not saying Pegues is going to be able to do that here, but I think he could. And I think he's a huge addition if Auburn lands him. And I think Auburn's in a good spot. He's visited a couple of other places. South Carolina, I know, was on his list. And he had some things to say about his visit to Auburn. He said it went well. They showed me pretty much everything they could show me. He said I got to meet the guys. He said it was great. I had a good time. And I just think that he would be a really good addition to this team. I do. And I think that's probably why. I think there's some real, real interest here on both sides. His decision's coming up. And I think that's why you saw Trey Donaldson hop in the portal. He says, quote, "I want a school that prioritizes winning. A school that values connections and relationships. A school that is going to allow me to continue to be the leader that I've always been." I think Auburn prioritizes winning, don't you? Just listen to the uproar that's been happening the last 2 weeks since Auburn lost in the NCAA tournament. They prioritize winning. They want to win. And you start bringing guys back like Chad Baker-Mazzara and Denver Jones and possibly more, this team's going to have all the potential in the world to win. And J.P. Pegues could be that X factor. He could be that guard that Auburn's been looking for. You pair that with Denver Jones and Aiden Holloway, if he finally figures it out, and Tahad Pettiford, who's going to be a 2. Yeah, this team's got all the talent in the world, and J.P. Pegues may just take this team to the next level. I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on all this so far? 334-321-1390. We'll come on back, have some more things to get to. Reminder, Chris Gordy is going to join us at the bottom of the hour at 3:30. So if you want to call in, this is your chance to do it. 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Got a couple of more minutes here before we get to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Will be joining us at the bottom of the hour, coming up at 3:30. You know, so many other things going on around Auburn athletics. We've talked a lot of Auburn baseball today, with them having Tennessee coming up this weekend. Beat UAB last night in a very exciting game near the end of it. Very, very stressful game, but Auburn wins 10-4. Last night, and you know, we were talking with Lindsey Crosby in the first hour, and you start to worry and get concerned when you are nine games in, you're three series in to SEC play, and you have the one win, right? I mean, that's really not where you want to be. And Brad Law was telling us about how, you know, Butch Thompson and the guys are not using it, the schedule and the strength of schedule as an excuse, and they shouldn't, because my thought process on this is everybody else is playing in the SEC, right? Every other SEC team that you're playing week in and week out, they're playing SEC squads too. Now, the way yours has lined up hasn't been great, right? The way that it's all fallen into place has been pretty brutal. Opening up at Vanderbilt, turning around to play the number one team in the country in Arkansas, going at the number four team in Texas A&M, turning around and playing the number four team again, and then you go and host a team that's playing their best baseball on the road in Kentucky before you have road trips still to Starkville, Baton Rouge, hosting Ole Miss, your easiest series of the year is on the road at Missouri, and then you end up to finish the season with Alabama. So the schedule's not doing you any favors, but you can't use that. And I'm not saying anybody is. You got to start winning some games. And that run that we are waiting on Auburn to go on, that we say they always do go on, you're running out of time for that to start, for it to actually mean something. Because if you go into this series this weekend against Tennessee and you get swept, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble if you're Auburn. And you go from 1-8 to 1-11 in SEC play, yeah, the run may not even be enough for you. Because as of right now, hosting a regional, no, that's not in the picture. You're just trying to make it to a regional. You're just trying to travel somewhere and be in postseason baseball. Because right now, you're not. Right now, the SEC tournament is in question. Everything is in question for you because of the lack of wins that you have. Luckily, you do have time. You have time to make up for it. But I asked Lindsey Crosby this in the first hour. Is it time? Does this weekend have to be when the run starts? And he thinks so, and I do too. And I think a lot of you agree with that. You've got to win this series this weekend. You'd love to sweep Tennessee. You would. But I think that's a very tall task. And asking to sweep the number four team in the country, you are at home, thankfully. Well, that's a tall task, man. Because the problem, and he said, and I've been saying it, if you lose this series, you have to win out your series. You have to win the rest of them. I think the math would say, in my opinion, you got to win them all from here on out. I know that would give you an extra game. That would give you 15 wins, I think. Maybe 16, if I did my math right. But why not? I mean, start with Tennessee. If you win this series, you feel good about Kentucky next week. And I know they're winning games on the road, but you still have the advantage of playing at home. Then you go at Mississippi State, and that's not going to be easy. It's not. And maybe that's where you can afford to lose two out of three, but just get the win on the road. And then you have to go to LSU, who is not as good as they have been, but it's still a solid squad. Take care of business down there. Go on the road and flex your muscles a little bit. Remind people who you are when you go to Baton Rouge. And have them be scared when Auburn comes into town. Have Auburn be playing their best baseball when you go on the road to Louisiana. Then you come home and you get a huge series to kick off the month of May against Ole Miss. And lucky for you, in between the LSU and Ole Miss series, there is no midweek. Maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's not, depending on how you look at it. So then that sets up to be a massive weekend for Auburn. That Ole Miss series, that could be the turning point of the season. That could be the biggest series of the year. Isn't that crazy? That could be the biggest series. If you start to win right now, and you go into that and you win after you've won numerous series before that, with the road series at Missouri and finishing up with Alabama, the Ole Miss one could be the difference in possibly getting into a hosting category, possibly just making the postseason, or, God forbid, not making it or not being very high up, right? So that's what's at stake here. But you can't, like Brad was saying, you can't worry about all that. You've got to focus on right now. Focus on this weekend. You got through UAB. You got through the weather. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend. Focus on Tennessee. Focus on winning game one of the series. Something you've struggled to do. Then Saturday, and then Sunday. And you move on from there. We'll take our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, host of Locked On SEC, Chris Cordy, will join us. We've got so much to talk about with him, man. Looking forward to that. Stick around. Chris Cordy joins us after this.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Appreciate you all being with us here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and joining me on the phone lines, as he does each and every Thursday at 3:30, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, your daily spot for all things Southeastern Conference, it's Chris Cordy. Man, what's up? How are you? I hate that we have just nothing to talk about on this Thursday afternoon, man.
I know, man. It's a busy time. There's a lot going on. A lot to discuss.
Are you on location somewhere today covering something?
Not today. I'm on an elevator right now, so if I cut out getting off an elevator in just a second. But no, not today. But, man, it is funny because I think I was on your show a week ago, and you asked me – I think we talked about Eric Musselman.
Yep.
And it was funny because, you know, I kept thinking of it from the side of Arkansas. Like, will Arkansas bring back Eric Musselman? I kept saying – you're not going to get rid of a guy after one bad season who just took you to all these, you know, Sweet 16 runs and all this. But I didn't think about it the other way, where, you know, a guy who doesn't feel, not necessarily doesn't feel the love, but like, you know, like, hey, you know, a lot of people trash talking me after my one bad year, after I just had three phenomenal years. Hey, show me the love a little bit more. And obviously, AD Hunter Yurecek, you know, with his comments about a week ago saying, well, he's our coach right now, but that's kind of it. You know, I think, you know, more and more people I started to talk to said, yeah, Musk has an affinity for the West Coast. He'd rather be back out there. He's from there. He went to school out there. And he'd love to be back in Southern California. And, you know, lo and behold, when Andy Enfield jumped ship from USC, he was like, oh, God, well, this is a job that Musselman might actually take. So I just found it funny because you asked me that very question about Musk, but, you know, it was funny. Right after that is when the rumbling started that, hey, he's not committed to coming back here to Arkansas by any means.
which is so crazy. I mean, this time last week, I was asking about it in case there was a potential of him going somewhere or them not bringing him back, but I didn't really think it was going to happen. But yet, here we are. Arkansas seemed like they were going to bring him back, but he said, no, thanks, I'm good. I'm heading out to Southern California. I mean, is this a good move for him, do you think?
Well, I think he'll do well there. Like, I think he's a good coach, and obviously he'll have a lot of resources there at USC. And look at what he's done the last few years through recruiting and through the transfer portal. Like, I think, you know, from that standpoint, I think he's going to do just fine. Now, you know, it would be great if Bronnie James was hanging around, but I know Bronnie entered the transfer portal, so we'll see where he ends up. But, no, I mean, I think he'll be good there. I mean, look at his track record. He won at Nevada, for God's sakes, and, you know, made some tournament runs with them. So I think he's a good coach, but man, it just feels like, I think our buddy Jake Crane said it earlier today. He said, this will lose for both sides. Like, for us, like, you're in a great spot there in Arkansas. You're one of the best coaches in the SEC and,
yeah,
you know, had some nice runs there. And on the flip side for Arkansas, like, you've been searching for this kind of coach since Olin Richardson. So, like, you know, you've been looking for that kind of successful coach, and now they're in a bind. Where do they go? And, you know, some of the early names I've heard, Chris Beard is a name that's at the top of their list. And so, you know, it's almost like the Saban thing. When Saban retired, they take the Washington coach. Then the Arizona coach leaves Arizona for Washington. It's just that domino effect where it's like, if Chris Beard leaves Ole Miss for Arkansas, well, now Arkansas, Ole Miss has to find a new coach. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works out. But, yeah, I just, like I said, it just feels like a lose-lose because it did feel like a good mutual situation for both sides.
See, I felt like maybe the reason he decided to finally dip out was because of how the Arkansas fans reacted with this season. I mean, it wasn't good. We could all look at the record and especially look at the talent and tell you that it wasn't a good season. But they were upset and really calling for his job, for him to be let go because of one bad year. I mean, maybe that's what drove him out, Chris.
Well, that's what I said. Like, it's a lot of these coaches, they have egos. And you know, they say, you know, show me the love all the time. Don't just show me the love when things are going great. That's the easy time to show me love. Show me love when
right.
we had a down year, but we need to bounce back. And it's like, yeah, fans aren't like that. I mean, it always goes back to what have you done for me lately? And everybody forgot about Muss and ripping the shirt off and getting to the Elite Eight and all that kind of stuff the last couple of years. Like, they forget about that very quickly because you had such a down year. But I think this is the day and age we're living in with transfer portal and recruiting. Look, sometimes a five-star prospect's going to be a bust. And we see it all the time in football. And it happens sometimes in college basketball. Sometimes, you know, look at Calipari. He's had those years where he signed, you know, three or four five-stars and brought in one or two big-time transfers. And sometimes these kids don't pan out. They're not what they were supposed to be. So that's all I think that happened this year at Arkansas. But, yeah, the fans were very vocal about this is not acceptable. And it was kind of funny, too. I was, you know, we did a podcast on this, the Locked On SEC. And in our photo service we use, you know, you can search, you know, for a picture of the coach. And mm-hmm. I was going back and looking through the photos. And it's so funny, Jacob. Go look at pictures of Eric Musselman from 2002 and 2001. And it's him smiling. It's him high-fiving his players. It's him ripping his shirt off and jumping into the stands. And then every photo from this past season of Musselman was his head in his hands, his face in disgust, yelling at a ref. I mean, it was just funny to see the contrast, but that's what this whole season was at Arkansas. But, yeah, man, it's one of those things where, you know, we see in football all the time. You know, the Auburn fan base was excited for the Hugh Freeze hire. And then you blow the game to Alabama, and then you lose the bowl game, and suddenly fans are going, hey, Hugh, you better get this thing going here. And then he has a great recruiting day, and everybody's like, okay, we're back on board. But if they don't take a step forward this year, Jacob, and they go 5-7 to miss a bowl game again, those fans are going to, you know, all the joy you brought them 2 years ago when they hired you, like, that goes out the window very quickly. So, yeah, man, it's just going to be fascinating to see who they hire. And, again, if it is Chris Beard leaves Ole Miss for Arkansas, that's just, again, who does Ole Miss hire then? And all that has repercussions on your fan base at Auburn.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we've continued to talk about it today. The news, the official news broke kind of as we were going on the air today. You know, we've had the news that he was interviewing, and I said it for a couple of days. It's like, man, you don't have a job at Arkansas like Eric Musselman does and interview at USC if you don't fully plan on taking that job and leaving. And so I've been asking our listeners kind of what they feel like and how they are taking this in with Eric Musselman no longer being in the SEC, Chris Beard possibly hanging around the SEC, and what if Will Wade comes back to the SEC, man? It's going to be the old gang getting back together again.
Yeah, no doubt. And also, the other name I saw was Jerome Tang from Kansas State, and I think he's a really good coach. But it's funny, I saw a few Arkansas fans say, oh, you know, hell no to that. I'm like, well, come on, man. Like, that's a good coach.
He's a great coach.
Yeah, he's had some nice tournament runs there. So I really think any of those names would be good, whether it's Chris Beard, Will Wade, or Tang. And you know, the thing with Will Wade at LSU was he was a really good X's and O's coach. He was just the moron that was, you know, put his voice on a wiretap trying to buy a player. Well, guess what? Buying players is legal now. So, you know, look at what he just did with McNeese to get them to a tournament and make a, you know,
30
least,
wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable what he did there. So he's a great coach, and I think he's going to find his way back into a big-time job. You know, maybe Ole Miss might be a good starting point for him. Because, look, if they were willing to look past the transgressions of Chris Beard, which, you know, allegations accused of beating his wife, which then again were dropped. I don't know the whole situation that happened there. If Will Wade's greatest sin was we tried to pay a player to come play for us, look, man, you can look past that and hire him too.
Well, I think there's a lot to be found out in the next few weeks and months when it comes to SEC basketball coaching changes and hirings and firings and all that type of stuff. And then in the transfer portal, I mean, that's just been wide open too. And then we still got to talk about the SEC team that's still playing basketball with Alabama in the Final Four. But yeah, transfer portal's been hectic as usual. Auburn's been extremely active, got a couple of guys on campus and some big names floating around out there right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's funny, to your point with Alabama, I mean, we'll see what happens with them. I've been having a back and forth with a lot of people. You know, we had our buddy John Neighbors on the other day who does Lockdown Razorbacks. And, you know, he said, to hell with Alabama. I'm not rooting for them. But I've heard some other people say, oh, look, you know, I'll root for the conference, root for the SEC. But I know folks in your part of the state will not be rooting for Alabama.
No, they've already ordered their UConn gear. It's already in the mail. They bought it on two-day shipping on Amazon.
But I will say, I mean, look, they're about an 11.5-point underdog to UConn. They don't have, you know, a lot of people say they don't have a chance in this. But I thought they had a chance to beat North Carolina. They did. I thought they had a good chance to beat Clemson. They did. So who knows? If this team comes out and shoots really well like they have, you know, and play really good defense, they'll have a chance. And so it'll be interesting. But, you know, I look at it from the standpoint of Greg Sankey. Like, you know, it's been over a decade now since Calipari and Anthony Davis at Kentucky won a championship, and then before that, you got to go back to, you know, the mid-2000s with Billy Donovan at Florida winning those back-to-back. So it's been such a long time for the SEC to be, you know, to get to and win a title in the you know, men's basketball that it would be quite an accomplishment if Nate Oates could do it. I just think it's going to be really tough for them to that ultimate point.
Do you think, I mean, does 11.5, I know UConn has been dominant, but like, that's a lot of points to be favored by in the Final Four. This isn't the first round. This is the last two games of the year. I mean, that's a ton of points to be favored by.
It is, and the whole reason I kept picking, and I picked UConn to lose earlier in the tournament, like, I just, it's so hard to repeat, right? I mean, there's a reason why we're talking about Florida doing it, you know, over a decade ago, and it was because they brought back their whole core of players.
Exactly.
With, you know, Joakim Noah and that whole bunch. So, it's just so hard to do, but man, Give UConn credit, man. Dan Hurley, I mean, they've done a fantastic job in rallying, and a lot of these tournament games haven't even been close for them. So, yeah man, it's but your point stands. Like, yeah, being such a heavy favorite, and everybody kind of saying, oh, are they going to repeat? Sometimes, you know, sports goes full sports, and the favorite doesn't win, and somebody pulls off a massive upset, and Nate Oates is a really good coach, too. Like, I give him credit. Like, even if you don't like him, and, yeah, he's kind of a tool bag and, defended a player who brought a murder weapon to a crime scene. I mean, all this kind of stuff. But when it comes to X's and O's, he's a really damn good coach. And if anybody can do it, he can make this one interesting against UConn.
Well, we're going to find out on Saturday, Alabama and UConn in the Final Four, trying to make it to the national championship game. We're talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. You can find it on YouTube or any of your audio platforms each and every day for Locked On SEC. Got a couple minutes. We'll let you get out of here. Spring games beginning to start. Auburn has theirs this Saturday. You've got G-Day coming up next week. Alabama having theirs. I mean, all the SEC teams starting to get wrapping up spring practice. Anything that's caught your eye? I know we've asked you this a few times over the last few weeks, but as we are wrapping up spring and about to get into that portal window, anything that's sticking out to you news-wise around the SEC?
Well, yeah, there's some injuries, you know, to kind of keep an eye on, and we were kind of doing some highlights from around the conference on Monday, and, you know, South Carolina's had a couple guys banged up, no surprise. You know, Rocket Sanders has been out, you know, good bit of this spring. The Arkansas transfer that's coming over there. Tennessee, Cam Seldon, their stud, you know, I think he was a freshman last year, running back. He's going to miss all spring, so they're kind of leaning on a couple of the younger guys there to see what they have there. So it's just been little pieces like that. And, you know, Alabama made headlines a week ago with Jalen Hale having the injury, and, you know, there's some reports that he could, you know, miss this entire season. So, you know, and he's a guy that was going to compete to probably be the number three receiver at Alabama, but still that's a pretty big player to lose. So, there's just some little things like that. I know there was a storyline coming out of Georgia earlier this week that basically their D-line has been getting pushed around by their offensive line, which to me I think is a good thing. But Kirby Smart got all defensive about it yesterday, saying, I don't know where those reports even come from. And, you know, just like, okay, dude, it's okay to say your stud veteran offensive line is ahead of your freshman inexperienced defensive line. It's okay to say that, but – anyway, I just thought that was really funny. But, yeah, I mean, all eyes will be on Auburn, and I think a lot of fans want to see what this offense looks like. And it's so funny because so many coaches say, we want to keep it close to the vest. We want to go vanilla. We don't want to show anything. But, dude, last year's spring game was a freaking monsoon at Auburn. They didn't show anything.
Horrible. Like,
yeah, like Hugh, let's show a little something, man. Like, what's the biggest doubt all Auburn fans have right now? Is it Peyton Thorne? Like, let's fling it around a little bit. Let's let Walker White fling it around. Let's just show some signs of life at that quarterback spot that, hey, no matter who the guy is, we have faith in all these quarterbacks to go get it done. I feel like you'd buy a lot of goodwill from the season ticket holders and fan base if you're just flinging it around the yard and throwing for a bunch of yards and, you know, the freshman receiver looks good. And I'd love to see that, but we're probably not going to see it. It's going to be a bunch of, you know, handoffs and, you know, simple reads and dump offs and things like that. It's just like, come on, man, make the spring game entertaining. Give the fans something to get excited about.
Well, at least you know. At least you're not getting your expectations up and then being disappointed. You're going in disappointed, and that's you're already on your way to being an Auburn fan.
Hey, man, you know, it's like if I made a bold prediction that Peyton Thorne will be no worse than 10th best in the SEC in passing yards this year. I mean, if you start there, then you won't be disappointed by the end of the year.
That's right. Hey, if you expect disappointment, you'll never be disappointed. That's what somebody told me. It's a terrible mindset, but, you know, it's what happens when you cheer for certain teams for so long. Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, man, you're killing it over there right now. The YouTube numbers are popping off, and it helps when you've got Calipari news and Musselman news and football spring games. I mean, you're doing a fantastic job, man. Tell everybody where they can find it.
Yeah, and look, if you're interested in, you know, we've been having some SEC guys on the podcast lately. We had Talen Green on, the Arkansas quarterback, a couple weeks ago, and then the news came out about a week ago that he is trending towards being QB1, and Bobby Petrino, very complimentary of him, so we're happy to have him on the show. And then earlier this week, we had Chris Brazel, the new Tennessee wide receiver who transferred in from Tulane.
Yeah.
Really good kid who, you know, is expecting to go into Tennessee and put up some big numbers this year. So, again, if you're an Auburn fan, but look, what do we always say about the SEC? Know your opponent, scout the rest of the conference. And so we'll be having some more players on in the next couple weeks from some different SEC schools. But, yeah, check out that interview with Chris Brazel because, man, he was very complimentary of Nico Yamaliava. And Tennessee, who knows, man? Everybody's still picking Georgia, you know, technically the east side. I know east and west are gone now. But Nico and Tennessee might have something to say about it before it's all said and done.
Hey, this could be Tennessee's year. Tennessee could be back, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, we said that a lot, but, you know, they were kind of back with Hendon Hooker, and they kind of fizzled out last year. So we'll see if they're back.
Well, we'll see if they're back. I like that. Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, man. Great to talk to you once again, and we'll get you again next Thursday.
All right, thanks, man.
That's Chris Gordy. Go check it out. Locked on SEC, wherever you get your podcast, on audio and on the YouTube version as well. He does a phenomenal job. I listen almost every day on the ones that I can and go back and listen to a lot of them that I can't catch on the day that he actually posts it. So go check it out. And he's a lot of fun. What you hear on this show is what he does on his every single day for 30 minutes on Locked on SEC. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Man, this has been a wonderful show. This has been awesome. I mean, today, this Thursday felt like Thursdays back in the fall when we would have three guests per Thursday when it was, well, God, what do? We'd do Brad Law, then we would have Keith Etheridge, head coach Keith Etheridge from Auburn High School football in the second hour, and then Chris Gordy. But we did a little bit of that today. We had Lindsey Crosby, our baseball guy. Yes, the Lindsey Crosby. Joined us in studio from Braves Today, Auburn Daily. He was with us for 30 minutes. We talked about the Braves and we talked about Auburn in the baseball world and kind of what's been going on as the Braves are underway. Auburn baseball getting back in action after last night's game against UAB. They've got Tennessee coming up this weekend. So great conversations catching up with him. And we're working out to get a weekly schedule with him coming back in studio for baseball season. And I know a lot of you enjoy that, and we do as well. So that was in the first hour. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network was in the first hour. And then we just got off the phone with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. So if you missed any of that from today, be sure you go and listen to the podcast, ESPNAU.com, or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Uncle T-Bone will be here. Also, my buddy Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas is going to be with us. We'll talk about the Eric Musselman news and where the Razorbacks go from here. Yes, that'll be tomorrow. We'll preview A-Day. We'll talk about the Final Four, make our official picks because we have such a good track record of doing that, right? We'll have all of that for you on the show tomorrow. And hey, speaking of the Final Four, we're going to carry that right here on ESPN 106.7 this Saturday and the national championship game on Monday. Yeah, that's right. We're carrying the Final Four and the championship game. So be sure you tune in for that. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.